peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Old Testament blessing appointed for the week of Lotharo, recorded in the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers, beginning at the 4th verse. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this useless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Come to the Lord and take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. Everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit any man, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Sunday, like Friday, is well described by one of his ancient names, Dominica Resurrectione, the Lord's Day of Refreshment. It is the Rejoice Sunday in Lent, just as there is a Vaudeville in the middle of Advent. A time for us to kind of liturgically catch our breath, so that we understand that the rigors under which Christian people at least should be going during Lent, the self-examination, the contemplation of the passion, the suffering, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, has a joyful goal. We are doing it not just to exercise ourselves in penance, but to be refreshed in our most holy Christian faith. And by one of the odd accidents of telepathic systems, all three of the lessons took the theme. All three of them remind us of the joy and the refreshment that God's people are to experience in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, an invitation is spread before us. We have contemplated our sins and know our shortcomings. We look to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and to live. The Old Testament lesson for Sunday Lotharo of this year is one very familiar to you. You probably can't even remember how many times you had it as a Sunday school or a Christian day school religion lesson. So don't need to rehearse all of the details, but only to outline some of the contours for our own application. There are perhaps two things that pop out of this text whenever we look at it. The first is the pervasive sinfulness of Israel. Now just think of what Israel has been through. Deliverance from the bondage and slavery of Egypt. Something which no Israelite could ever forget. Well, we heard it this weekend when Menachem Begin said that with peace the borders will be opened, and Egyptians can come and see Israel, and Israelis can go to Egypt and see the pyramids where their ancestors had a lot of their lives invested. Even today, one can never forget what happened in Egypt. So Israel is delivered by the mighty hand of God, and it gets into the wilderness, and it is fed miraculously with manna from heaven and prayer and the rock of Meribah, which is just prior to this text. And now watch what they do. And the people became impatient and desire. And they murmured against God and against Moses and said, oh, God, you are the illusion. Can you imagine what it was going to say? Oh, that I were in the sky. And that's not exactly the word. Oh, that you were in Egypt. Why have you brought us into this wilderness to die here? And the Lord heard their cry. And he needed out his judgment and sent the fiery serpent, and many of Israel died. And then they came to their senses and said to Moses, intercede and plead for us. If you read Luke's commentary on the Gospel according to St. John, there's a lot to say about Numbers 21. Look what Moses did. He set up a bronze serpent. Luke comments, the people of Israel must have said, do you have to rub it in? Setting up the very symbol of the thing that is fighting and killing us as a sign of division. You know, are you making fun of us, Moses, in our misery? And yet for those who believe the word and promise of the God who told Moses to put up the bronze serpent on a pole, they could look and they could live. And once again, Israel received a magnificent object lesson in the grace and mercy of its God. I want to easily be accused of allegory in trying to apply this text to a Christian community if you did not have the benefit of two New Testament passages which are beautifully designed to be both law and gospel. What shall we make of this account of the bronze serpent and the children of Israel, from whom we are so distantly removed? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul makes a law application of this account. And let us not murmur, as some of them murmured and were destroyed by serpents. Let us not murmur. I should like to make some rather specific and perhaps embarrassing application of that word. Thursday is a month from yesterday. You all know that. What you have probably forgotten is that 1 month from today is the day of reality. I didn't ask to go there. We'll be 1,000 miles away from our home. The story is not what I had in mind, and I distinctly remember telling Dean Hoffman when he asked what kind of a place do you have in mind, I said, something like my vicarage church, about 800 communicants would be just fine, thank you. And here we are, thousands of miles from nowhere. Doesn't anyone appreciate what I've been through? Doesn't the church know how much I have invested? Or is it even more starkly to home? The children of Israel complained in the midst of God's blessing. In spite of manna from heaven, and water from the rock of Meribah and quail, they said, we have no food and no water, and we loathe this useless food. Quite frankly, brothers, there are people in this community who say the same thing about the grace and mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Is there a loathing of the blessed sacrament of the altar? Is there a despising of preaching and the word of God? Are they not more than rumors? The people do not even regularly worship on Sunday because of one excuse piled upon another, excuse piled upon another. So I don't know what you're going to say. But you can't be legalistic about it, you know. We don't live under the law. Well, I'm sorry, guys, we do too. The law of God that comes down like thunder and lightning and blasts apart all your pet theories about how you can play and manipulate and jingle and dangle with God and His word and faith. And when the tolerating when it's coming off does not excuse you from the crushing power of the word of law. Let us not murmur about God's grace and His lavish blessing, as some of them murmur. Should we play hallowed in the ritual of joy? And that is the other application of this text in the New Testament. You heard it in the Holy Gospel for this day. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not die, but have eternal life. Think of it. The very symbol of man plunging himself into sin becomes a symbol of God's gift of life. It's in the proper prophet, the passing fire, that he who by a tree once overturned might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we lord and magnify the glorious name of our God. You see, that's the invitation. The Son of Man lifted up as Moses lifted up the serpent, so that whoever believes has life. And today He spreads before us His banquet, His prenuptial feast, if you will, the foretaste of the everlasting wedding banquet. And He invites us in His grace to look to the cross, to look, and to live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.